Well, as we talked about yesterday morning with Kelly Rundle of Fourth Wall Films, this weekend there is going to be a commemoration of the 100-year anniversary of the Villisca Axe Murders in Montgomery County. And one of the principals who will be involved in this weekend's events, Dr. Edgar Epperly, joins us on the phone this morning. Dr. Epperly, thanks for your time.
Well, thank you for having me.
Appreciate it very much. Do I call it your life's work or perhaps your life's passion in spending so many years focused in on this event?
That is a bit unusual, I admit. It's more of a hobby than it is a work. I've earned very little money over the years doing it, but it's like a person with a stamp collection or someone that plays golf. They'll do it for years and years and years and find it satisfying in some way, and I have too. I've gotten interested in the case, and I want to tie up every loose end I can, and so I just keep plodding along. I've always had a full-time job and a family, and we've tried to live, and I think we have lived, a relatively normal life. It's not an obsession that has distorted me all that much, but I have been persistent, at least.
Well, almost 60 years worth of persistent, I would say. How did you first get interested?
Well, I had heard of it as a child. I grew up in Leon, Iowa, about 100 miles east of you people. And my family would talk about it maybe once every couple of years in just routine conversations. You have a Sunday dinner, and the uncles had come in and their families, and the men, we'd be sitting out on the porch, and somebody would say, "Do you remember about that big murder over in Villisca?" And so I knew about it. And then when I went to Iowa State Teachers College, I went with two friends, three of us, had been fast buddies in high school. And we were all three social science majors, history majors. And we took a course and proposed to our teacher that we do a joint paper that involved original research, and she okayed it. And so we went to Villisca in 1955 and interviewed people. At that time, there were a number of people that were key figures in the investigation. We interviewed the county attorney at the time, who had prosecuted the minister who was charged with the murder and tried for the murder, acquitted but tried. Oscar Winston. We interviewed Dr. Cooper, who was the first doctor on the scene when the house was opened and the murder was discovered. We interviewed the sister of the murdered girls, Edith Sillinger, who was her sisters, younger sisters, were visiting with the Moore house, at the Moore house the night of the murder, and were killed. People like that, really, really key figures, and so it was, I'm sure, a modest paper, but at least got us started. The other two, Don Brown, who stayed in Iowa, he's dead now, but he and I worked together for a while, but then he left the state and worked in Indiana, and so we kind of left the field for me. Leo Mundy had been a co-worker on those early days, but he also left the state, went on to higher and better things, and I just kept plodding along, and here I am.
Here we are. Well, you've talked to a lot of folks, obviously, over the years then, too, and sometimes we have to step back away from this and stop talking about it as an event. There were individuals who obviously were wrong there. There are families who have been hurt over this, and sometimes as we get further away, we forget that. Have you noticed the attitudes toward it changing at all over all these years?
Yes, they have. The feelings, it's a little bit, let's use a campfire as an analogy, you know, that it's bright and burning when it's first lit, and so for that first generation, they never got over it. Those who were relatives and friends of the murdered victims, there was a great deal of bitterness and confusion and anger within the town, and there was a great deal of resentment of outsiders like myself who would come in and rummage around and try to get information. But then that the fire burns lower. It starts to cool, as those people died, and then it was their sons and daughters, and now it's become grandchildren. So that by the 1950s and 60s, when I made my initial move to Villisca, people were relatively cooperative. They were friendly enough, but they really didn't think it was a topic that should be talked about very much, and they didn't cooperate any more than they had to, because they felt it was just not really anybody's business. But then in the last 20 years or 30 years, there's been a change again. It seems to me like that now there's a kind of a, not a nostalgia, but a feeling that this was a defining event for our community. It was a horrible event, but we don't want these innocent victims to be forgotten, that there's nothing wrong with commemorating them or memorializing them as being victims of a terrible tragedy. And so people have been more cooperative, and there's more of an open feeling. There's a fair amount of resentment of the fact that the house being opened and the great deal of paranormal investigations that have taken place and the interest in that. Some people are uneasy, I guess would be a word, about that, partly because most of us know very little about paranormal investigations, and some have reservations about their validity and so on. I've had no paranormal experiences personally, and I really am not in a position to comment on when a person claims to perceive a spirit within the house. The only thing I can do is when they give specifics and say, I think it was such and such a person, I'm fairly confident that, well, that person could have been there, or no, that person couldn't have been there because they were somewhere else, that kind of thing.
Sure.
But as far as the paranormals themselves, I've had very little contact with that.
100 years later, we're still talking about this. Is it because of the magnitude of the circumstance, so many people were murdered in such a way, or is it largely because it's never been solved?
Well, I don't really think it's either of those that is the primary thing. Both of those make a contribution. This is one of the very largest murders in Iowa history, maybe the largest. The second thing is that the fact that it was unresolved, no one got convicted, so it never got closed, that caused a lot of the memories to live on. Just like Jack the Ripper in England, where that's remembered largely because they didn't catch anyone. A little bit like Lizzie Borden. She was tried and acquitted, but the murder was never solved, and a lot of people felt that maybe she was guilty after all. But I think the real factor in Villisca was the fact that you had a local suspect, F.F. Jones, the banker, state senator, and a very deep community disagreement about his guilt. Many of his friends and people in the upper social class felt that it was just absurd to even think of him as being involved in something like that. And some of the majority of the rest of the town believed that he was guilty, and he had used his power and influence to thwart justice. So there was bitter resentment between those groups. And I think that did more than anything else. And I think the real reason that it developed the way it did was because Detective Wilkerson from the Burns Agency came to town and made it his goal to convict Jones. And he developed a conspiracy theory that he convinced the local townspeople, the majority of them, was valid, and Jones was guilty. And so there was that conflict within the community that lasted through the generation that experienced the murder and their children, and now has still there but tended to fade.
Story within a story. Do you think, in your opinion, 100 years from now, 200 years after the fact, folks will still be talking about this?
Well, I will be, that's for sure. No, I think it's a permanent part of Iowa history now. There have been books written, or at least one book written. There's been a play written. There's been a film made. It will be remembered in Iowa history as long as we remember Iowa history. I'm quite confident of that.
Well, and they'll also, in addition to Villisca Living with a Mystery, which will be screened again this weekend as part of that those activities in Red Oak on Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Montgomery County Historic History Center in Red Oak, there'll also be a screening of a new film that the Rundles did, a short 25-minute documentary called Axeman. What'd you think when they asked about doing your story?
Well, I'm vain enough. I can tolerate publicity. Kind of the question you initially ask, you know, how in the world did you spend your whole lifetime puttering around with this thing? And I have not seen the film. I have no idea how they treated it. They came and interviewed me, and they interviewed my wife, and they interviewed three or four friends, and they looked at where I do the work, the research, and what will come out of that. I have no more idea than you do, I fear. But I'll be sitting there in the audience with my fingers crossed, and a little sweat on the brow, I suspect. But we'll see. I'm quite impressed by the Rundles' filmmaking skills. So I think they will do as much with the subject as anybody would. But whether they've got enough subject to make a film, we'll find out, I guess.
I guess we will. Well, I know you'll have a chance to visit with folks as part of a Q&A session there, too. Do you enjoy that?
Oh, I do immensely. I like to talk. I like to have exchanges like that. And they're generally, occasionally I have somebody who disagrees with something that I've said, but I'm not bothered by that. I'm happy to present my case and let them believe what they will, I guess.
It's another one of the reasons why the story lives on, is there are different theories. You and the Rundles don't necessarily agree.
That's true. The Rundles are quite convinced it's a serial killer. I am somewhat convinced it is the minister that was tried for the murder, Kelly. But neither can be resolved, and we can't come to an agreement on any of that.
But we can have good arguments about it, and they can do that this weekend.
That's exactly right. I hope they do.
You bet. Well, again, thank you for your time today, Dr. Epperly. Appreciate it very much, and enjoy visiting with folks this weekend.
Sure. I look forward to it.